As I was driving over here from Fort Meade this morning, now you're going to get a fresh introduction to the sermon. It's not the one I used in Fort Meade, because I was thinking about something since I've been doing sermons about faith. Why is it that our faith seems to only kick in when we're cornered like a cat? Have you ever noticed that? We all have had that to happen to us at one time or the other. But when we are in a state of leisure and relaxation and nothing much stressful is going on, I'm not saying we give up our faith at all. I'm not even going there. But what I'm saying is we kind of let our guard down and we allow the chips fall where they may. But when that moment arrives, when we have a decision to make or there's something just cataclysmic seems to be happening in our lives, that's when we get on our knees and fold our hands and pray a lot more diligently and earnestly. It would be nice if we could keep a mindset that our faith should be kicking in 24/7. Abraham is known as the father of the Jews and Arabs, but also as God's faithful and obedient servant. He loved God because Abraham trusted God throughout his life. Paul paid tribute to Abraham and called attention to the patient persistence of his faith. Abraham was a giant of the faith because of his obedience to God. To insert something a little bit about the life of Abraham, and I just read this the other day in the book of Genesis. Abraham was a tent dweller. He would be what they call a glamper today because his tent was probably fairly spacious. But he would be living in the desert. The midday sun was probably about 115 to 125 degrees, like what you would find in Arizona or Palm Springs or some places like that with a desert environment. So, you know, when he was sitting at the door of his tent, probably in the heat of the day, you remember there were three men came to him. Two were angels and one was the Lord. And he welcomed them in because, I mean, the tent must have been, it probably wasn't a Boy Scout pup tent, to say the least, but it was a pretty spacious tent. And he had lunch fixed for them. And but you just think about the lifestyle changes over a period. Now, probably Abraham lived around 2000 B.C., that's been 4,000 years ago. Now, we have a connection to Abraham by faith, but I don't know if our lifestyle could follow him. I mean, he didn't have indoor plumbing. He didn't have electricity. He usually shared, they shared a lot of their space with the camels and some of the other animals. And, you know, I'm sure they didn't take a bath that frequently. And as far as anything else, you had to do everything from scratch. Well, our parents and grandparents did it by scratch, so it's not been that long ago, but you just think about what they had to do to even make a meal. And so the lifestyle of Abraham is something we probably cannot relate to that well because it was a different culture, different era, whatever. 4,000 years is a long time, and things do change after a while. But we do know something, that Abraham had a connection to God, and so do we. Abraham believed in God even when others could not understand. God had taken the initiative and revealed multitudes of blessings to Abraham. God does this today through Jesus Christ, as it is proclaimed by the church and each person of faith. It was through commitment, and that's a rare thing today, commitment is, that Abraham nurtured and developed his faith. By faith and in faith, God was able to do amazing things in and through Abraham. Abraham's faith led him to look even beyond this life toward the eternal. We would be much wiser keeping the simple virtues of Abraham in mind. They were not complicated or complex. You just think about how complex have we made our lives in just the past 30 to 40 years. I imagine some of you remember when if you made an agreement with somebody, even at the bank, a handshake was sufficient. Can you get a character loan nowadays? Probably not. Things have changed so much that we don't even trust the preacher too much nowadays. That's sad how things have deteriorated to where we can't trust hardly anybody because there's such notoriety about stabbing others in the back. But the simple virtues of Abraham are still used, it could be used today and are. Faith enables people to see things around them which are hidden from the eyes of those who have no faith. Faith would tell us that our lives are destined for the purpose of serving God and others. I used this person as an illustration several years ago in a sermon, and I found some material about her that I thought was really neat about this person. And she was a person who had a divinely driven inner strength due to a strong faith. I'm not mentioning about Mother Teresa or Billy Graham or some of the great saints of the church. This person died in 2013, and her name was Lindy Boggs. Now, Lindy Boggs was a very remarkable person. This faith of hers played a vital role throughout her life. You have to remember, she was also born in another era and time far removed from 2022. She was born in Louisiana on a cotton plantation in 1916, but her father died when she was a preschooler. I think he died of typhus or something like that. Her mother later remarried to a planter who owned a sugar plantation. Yes, and they still used steamboats to transport the crops to New Orleans. It was an era that still had a lot of antebellumism that is not in existence anymore. And so this is the life that she led. She was an only child. She lived in a loving, caring, and compassionate household. From an early life, she was educated by nuns in a convent school. Her stepfather, whom she called, as she said, Daddy George, was an Episcopalian. And Lindy would accompany him to church weekly after attending Mass at her parish church. The nuns at her convent school told her in no uncertain terms that she was committing a grave sin by worshiping in a Protestant church with Daddy George. Well, guess what? She then went to her priest and shared with him her dilemma. You know what the priest responded by? It was something that was completely opposite of what she expected. He encouraged her to continue going to church with Daddy George because it would indeed be a grave sin if she didn't go. This was in pre-Vatican II days. And this priest encouraged this young girl, go ahead, he needs you, and the Lord will be pleased if you go to church with him. I think it's such a beautiful expression of pastoral care, an example of tolerance for a young child to learn. You've heard my stories about what I learned as a child about writing in Bibles, and I'm still reluctant to do so because I had a third grade Sunday school teacher told me it was a sin to write in the Bible. Maybe I should have gone to a priest and he might have helped me out on that. But you know, truthfully, a lot of things that we learn as children, and most of it's good, don't get me wrong, but some things aren't, and we keep that with us till the day we die. And to overcome it can be a very insurmountable odds, you know. But throughout Lindy's life, she sought to make the world a better place for people who were disadvantaged, needed uplifting and encouragement. And while in college, she went to Tulane down in New Orleans, and she met her husband, who later served in Congress until he was killed in a plane crash in 1972. And guess what? She was elected in his place. And she served 9 terms there in Congress. And so her charm and southern manners and accent melted the hearts of everyone she encountered. I think I shared in one of my earlier stations about her that Senator Jesse Helms asked her numerous times, what's a nice girl like you doing in a cesspool called Washington, D.C.? But this Southern plantation bred lady, believe it or not, she supported civil rights and also was a staunch pro-lifer. Lindy always followed the instincts of her faith in all areas of her life. Lindy then retired after those 9 terms, and she followed her faith inclination by doing so. And she believed what she did was also pleasing to God. After her retirement, President Bill Clinton phoned her about becoming an ambassador, but she was reluctant and chose to decline. However, Clinton would not take no for an answer. Lindy said she didn't feel qualified to serve the post. However, she changed her mind because one morning at St. Louis Cathedral in New Orleans, where she attended Mass daily near her Bourbon Street home, a deep peace came over her, and she knew that God wanted her to take the position as ambassador to the Holy See at the Vatican. Lindy served 4 years in Italy. A humorous story arose from her ambassadorship. Lindy, they said, was the only person in the world who could get by calling Pope John Paul II, darling. Believe it or not, she could call him that. She was the first female ambassador to the Vatican, the first U.S. representative in Congress from Louisiana. It was very simple, a faith that relied upon God to guide this most charming Southern lady. We live in a day where everything is instant, don't we? With the flick of a switch or a button. Hurry seems to be the watchword in society today. Ever had a vehicle pass your car only come to a halting stop at the traffic light just a few inches ahead of you? They made no better time than you did, but you're the one who saved on the gas, wasn't it? It's today we are looking for a quick fix to get the job done. In this day of instant beverages and fast foods, we are determined of trying to find easy, convenient, inexpensive methods in the least amount of time, which also includes faith. You can't do faith the way you can a box of Jell-O. You have to nurture that faith, develop it through prayer and Bible reading, attending church, whatever it takes to do so. But you're not going to get it by just expecting it just to fall in your lap. You've got to do some work with it. And it doesn't come in microwave form either. We need to be reminded that God did not create the world even in one day. Abraham's patient faith, his never wavering trust and obedience made it possible that for God to work wonders in and through him. Abraham completely depended upon God. But Abraham was a regular, normal human being like you and I. Lindy Boggs is the same way. I'm just finishing a missionary biography of a woman named Lillian Trasher. She was a missionary in India, and she started the first orphanage in that country in the 19 teens. She was an Assembly of God missionary. And the things that she would pray for wouldn't have food on the table, and all of a sudden there would be money that would come in. Food would be driven up to the gates of the orphanage. There were so many things, and I thought, but she was just a human being like us. But yet we think, if they did it, but I can't. Oh, let me tell you something. God puts no limitations on blessings from him. Remember that. What is it that right now is gnawing at you? You'd like to have a solution to it. Well, guess what? I don't think there's a government agency can help you. I don't think there's probably a club or an organization can. We need to go to God when something like that happens. There's a dilemma. And guess what? God will come through for us. But what does it take? Faith. You know, I said at the beginning of the service, why do we have to be cornered before our faith kicks in? We don't have to be cornered. Faith is available to us any day or any night. We need it. But we need to remember that God is there for us to do things that when we are in dire straits to do. As I said just a moment ago, Abraham depended completely on God. And you say, well, he didn't have the problems I did. He didn't have his internet going out on him, or he didn't have his food stamps canceled, or he didn't have this happening. He didn't have car problems. This, it's irrelevant. What was Abraham's problem? God took care of it. What are our problems? God can take care of those. It just means F-A-I-T-H is the issue there. And we need to use that faith. It was the persistence of his active faith that caused Abraham to become the father of the faithful, the friend of God, and the spiritual parent of each of us who know Jesus Christ. Because remember, we descended out of the Jewish faith as Christians. So we can claim Abraham as well as much as the Jews or the Arabs. So Abraham was promised by God that his descendants would be as numerous as the granules of sand on the beach or the stars in the heavens. And guess what? God did not welch on that. God came through. And we know what's happened since then. Abraham died relying upon the promises of God. Abraham discovered in his own experience that God is trustworthy. May God grant us not only faith, but also the assurance to continue a life of loving and trusting obedience. Let us pray. Oh Lord, sometimes when our faith wavers, we must be reminded that you never move away from us, that you have a listening ear and you are compassionate. Be with us, O Lord, and let us keep in mind the role models such as Abraham and Moses, who were just mere mortals like we are, and yet they called upon you, and you were there for them. We may not be an Abraham, we may not be a Moses, or whomever it is that we know in the Bible, but we are one of your people. Guide and lead us as we continue to be faithful and obedient to you. Through the name of Christ our Savior, amen.